is good. Forgive, I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
All right, welcome back, America, to the second hour here of the American Awakening. Michael's traveling, and this is Tim Wingate sitting in. I have a special guest today, Dr. Edwin Vieira, and my friend Rick from Chicago. And if you want to see Rick's face, see him holding up a Ron Paul sign. And I think that was it on a Quest for Fair Trial. Is that right? Is that the one that they got the pictures from the Ron Paul rally in Chicago over the weekend?
Oh, I haven't even seen those yet, yeah, but that was an exciting rally.
We had pictures. Boy, I tell you, what a challenge. They hit us up with 24 hours. NBC News did a challenge. They don't think the Ron Paul revival and the Ron Paul phenomenon is real. They think it's somehow being manipulated by the Ron Paul's election staff. And all the meetup groups throughout the country, the thousands and thousands of people, of course, this is controlled press, and, they're kind of a jaundiced view. And so there was a challenge, and I'll have to say that our local people here in the Chicago area rose to that challenge. At least 200 people showed up with a 24-hour notice to get downtown Chicago with signs and being there. It was at Millennium Park, if I remember right, around the...
it was Millennium Park, and we did a four-mile walk. It was the most exciting thing I think I participated in years. 200 people with signs marching around, hundreds of thousands of Chicagoans screaming the Ron Paul name and everybody looking, and we got signs. It was just wonderful. It was wonderful.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Now, Ed, I've been bringing out to people that even though we see all the same and similar signs to a rise of a strong central police state, and as you talk about this control state, a surveillance state, at the same time we're seeing this rise in, I'll use the term populist, all right? Not that it's the strict political definition, but a popular uprising, if you will, of people that is starting to grow exponentially. And I personally attribute it to two things. One is the Aaron Russo's movie, who you're featured in that movie. America from Freedom to Fascism. Also, simultaneously, is that video is still being spread all across the country and from person to person and college campus to college campus. As people watch that video and become aware, then you have the Ron Paul campaign that is also awakening people. And Ron Paul, of course, is featured in that video as well. And you have this cross-pollination of liberty lovers throughout this country that are starting to realize we got to do something. We got to get involved, and this is where we were talking about before we went to the break, about we've got this window of opportunity that we need to go through, and as you were saying, we need to do it right. The old cabinet maker's principle you mentioned, measured twice, cut once.
Exactly.
So we're going to deal with that as we come back from this, our first break here, and we'll have some more time to talk. We got just three more breaks to deal with in between. And we will be back, folks, in 3 minutes with Edwin Vieira talking about
heart disease, constitutional malignancy, rise, clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. Call and ask about the free shipping offer until October 15th, 2007, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that one goal of international communism was to get our young people's mind off religion by getting them onto sex? By destroying the morals of the younger generation, America would eventually become ripe for revolution without understanding why communism wanted to make young people soft and easily controlled. Have we witnessed this transformation of our young people away from God and the Bible to immorality? We'd like to help you understand how these things are coming to pass by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736 to request your subscription. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
Michael Herzog, while he's traveling, my guest Edwin Vieira Jr. We're talking about constitutional homeland security. So, based on what we've covered, we know that there's a need for this, and we're talking about citizens, people taking personal responsibility for this country instead of sitting back in sloth and in laziness, in apathy. Instead of sitting back and going, oh, I'm just going to delegate all my personal responsibilities for being an active and involved person here to my representatives or my leaders in the state. I mean, that whole mentality of abdicating your personal responsibility, that contributes to this tyranny, actually, that we're under. This, as you call it, the leadership principle, where we follow the Führer rather than taking personal responsibility for our own country.
Well, I think that's right. And also, of course, the powers that be have promoted as much as possible this kind of abdication of personal responsibility and this kind of glorification and dependence upon leadership structures. So the two things work in tandem. But the point you made just before the break is a very important one. We see with the Aaron Russo Freedom to Fascism movie, and we see with Ron Paul's candidacy something that interests me very much. I look at them as a couple of surfers, if you will, political surfers. And you know, typically the surfers wait for the wave. I think in this particular case, the wave was waiting for the surfers. You have millions of people in this country who have really been apathetic because they don't see any way to accomplish this goal of returning our country to self-government and individual freedom. And then along comes an Aaron Russo who makes some very important points about what is really the structure of oppression in this country. And along comes a Ron Paul who begins talking about constitutionalism as the basis for politics. And now people say, well, now, wait a minute. Something perhaps can be done here. And the wave begins to generate because of the presence of the surfers. And I think the militia concept, of course, plays right into that because that's the logical extension of all of this. Eventually, people taking control in the political process to gain that institutional power within the government that will maintain for them self-government because, as I said before, the power of the sword is in the hands of the sovereigns themselves, not in the hands of some elite leadership group aloof in Washington, D.C., or Ottawa, or whoever where it will be when the North American Union comes into play. So
that is a major problem we're facing.
Well, that's yes. That's another one of our difficulties, is that this has to be put into play, this movement has to be put into play, before the North American Union begins to crystallize in terms of actual political structures, such as a judiciary. That's one of the things they're talking about, having some kind of an agency that would give judicial opinions and initially on economic matters, but then who knows how far that would go, or some kind of a quasi-legislature that would be created. I'm looking at it in terms of something about 2010, 2011, sometime in that time frame when they begin to broach these new institutions.
They're supposed but to... wouldn't you say, though, Ed, that actually we're talking about something coming up within, let's see here, we're in October, November, December, so roughly in about 14 months, the implementation of the Real ID Act in December of 2008. It was supposed to be May, and they pushed it back to December.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, seems as if that's one of the major, maybe it's the hinges, or maybe it's one of the gates on the corral of our freedoms. This whole national ID thing that they're trying to push through, making the states submit to the federal parameters for any issued identifications.
Well, I think, though, that it is going to provide us with an interesting opportunity. You know, all crises have danger and opportunity built into them. Because you already have, how many states is it now? Is it as many as 13 states?
I believe at least 13.
And there are more where it's in the works, at least in principle, have come out and said they're not going to participate in one way or another, if at all, in this national ID. So you're going to have some element of constitutional crisis, political crisis, self-governmental crisis, federalism crisis, simply about that particular issue.
Well, yeah, and the feds have already said, at least through some of their oracles, if you will, that there will be some form of consequence, some form of punishment done. And I theorize, you got a whole state of people who say we're not going to have our state driver's license or our state IDs comport with the federal standards of biometrics and some kind of magnetic strip or a RFID chip to entail your personal credit history and your medical knowledge and all this other kind of thing. The states are saying, no, we're not going to do that. How are the states then going to be able to do business with the feds in the federal enclaves that the feds will say, if you don't have a valid ID according to our standards, we're not going to let you in. We're not going to let you on Amtrak. We're not going to let you on the airlines. You know, that's punishment right there, but business-wise.
Well, of course, it works two ways.
Yeah.
All right? You're going to punish the airlines. You're going to punish Amtrak. You're going to punish a lot of these other entities that will now be foreclosed from economic revenues. So it will create an economic situation, a political situation. There are a number of difficulties that arise. It will give further impetus to what we have been talking about, the necessity to regain basic constitutional authority in the hands of the people. I could live with a national ID crisis for a year or so as a basis for pushing through these kinds of major political reforms. They're not going to be pushed through until people feel themselves being pushed to the wall.
Yeah.
Let's
and if
face
I understand
fact,
it
has
correctly,
to be a certain amount of tension built into this system in order to get people off of their couches. We're beginning to see the ideological movement. The Ron Paul phenomenon, I think, is one very heartening event that's going on, no matter how it eventuates in the election. But the very fact, the way people are responding to these ideas, crisis like the National ID Act, the whole problem of illegal immigration, the whole push for the North American Union, people are beginning to see that we are getting to the end of our road, and we have to take essentially drastic constitutional action. I say drastic because it is a large move. It requires a lot of people. But basically what I'm proposing, the average American can understand. The average American can do this until we get to the point, I suppose, of drafting the statutes. Then you're probably going to need some people with a little bit of expertise to put the right language together. The average American can force this through in his state legislature, and the average American obviously can participate in the system, the militia structure, once it's revitalized. That was the whole purpose of the structure and its whole history, that average people did it. And if average people don't participate at that level and other levels, we are not going to have self-government, and then you're going to have a lot worse than the National ID Act.
And if I understood Citizens Homeland Security correctly out of your book, it will be the last group anybody needs to join. So in other words, we don't have to have an anti-federal ID group, anti-income tax group, all these different groups, because once you have a Citizens Homeland Security associations, you now have a forum for educating the people on what the law actually says. And once they're educated in these little groups, and it's spread out, of course, to all the groups within the state, now you can face off with the government at a larger power and say, hey, you're misapplying the law.
Oh, that's exactly right. Once you have people politically organized in this fashion, all issues can potentially be on the table. Now, of course, there we're talking about Citizen Homeland Security Associations as political activist groups. The next step, revitalization of the militia, and then all of these questions become Homeland Security questions, which are within the jurisdiction of the militia that is exercising legal authority. So you've gone one step up on the constitutional ladder from simple political activism and essentially petitioning the legislature to pass a particular bill to a constitutional militia structure that has this institutional capability within the law. As the Constitution says, call forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union. The only institution to which the Constitution explicitly gives that responsibility and authority.
Yes, and if I understand the way the laws are written today, because I've battled, I can't tell you how many battles on issues of building permits, income taxes, driver's license, it appears that all these laws were written maybe 50, 75, 100, 120 years ago, all with a specific narrow intent. Then as a generation or two dies off, they merely start expanding the scope way beyond the intent of the laws, to where nobody even understands and everybody thinks these laws apply to everybody and everything they do in their private life. Whereas if we, the Citizens Homeland Security, we could now educate on this grassroots level in these small groups on what is the original intent of a certain right or a certain law, and then put a stop to government abuse on that particular right.
Well, and that's vital. This whole concept of the loss of what I would call historical continuity, right? If you break that educational process at any point of one or two generations, we run into precisely the problem we have today, that people don't have the knowledge necessary to face up to essentially the elitist oppression that's being put out against them. We have to come up with a mechanism to provide that level of education. And that's one of the things that I was trying to promote through the Citizens Homeland Security Association, getting people together on a local level, neighborhood level, with friends, coworkers, what have you, people that you know, people that you have some confidence in, to sit down and discuss these issues in a rational way with a particular goal in mind, which is to regain that level of popular sovereignty that we've lost. You can't have self-government without education. Without education in the political issues, without education in the economic issues.
Hey, guys, we got a break coming up. I can hear the music, barely. Pot it up again. Anyway, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Purchases and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, welcome back, America. Tim Wingate here on the American Awakening. Michael's traveling, and I'm sitting in, guest hosting. Thoroughly pleased to have as my guest Dr. Edwin Vieira, Jr., talking about constitutional homeland security. Now, before we get too far in this, Ed, and before we start taking some phone calls, how can somebody go about getting a hold of your book?
Well, as most books today, it's on Amazon. Go to Amazon.com, put in Constitutional Homeland Security, the title of the book, or my name, Edwin Vieira, and then they'll get a page or two of various publications that I have. And it comes up right away. It's the first or the second book in that list.
Excellent. Excellent. So there you go, folks. That's how to get a hold of this book. Now, the reason I bring that up is because I've noticed throughout the material that there's basically a six-point plan in trying to implement this. And the first one is a popular education as to what constitutional homeland security is, and then popular involvement in research and development aimed at the revitalization of the militia of the several states, popular preparation of the necessary statutes, popular pressure on legislators to enact the statutes, popular participation in the militia once revitalized, and then popular expansion of the movement state by state across the country. We're at that very first one where we need to get that popular education established. And the first step in doing that is getting a hold of Ed's book so that you can educate yourself and you can educate your neighbors. Would you suggest, Ed, that they basically get together and create a study group on the material that you've outlined in the book and start to go from there?
That's exactly right. One person starts with the book, gets four or five others together, passes the book around, sit down on a regular basis, maybe every week, every 10 days, over coffee, start discussing this, and then expand that group. We have, as you pointed out, relatively little time. We have a rather large job, so we need a lot of people to become involved in this. I am one person. I can't say that I really invented this concept. The Founding Fathers gave it to us. It's just been moribund for over a century. But it's there when we need it. I may not always be here. As I said in my article, The Leader Principle versus the Popular Principle, you cannot depend upon the leader principle in a self-governing republic. You have to depend upon the popular principle, which demands large-scale involvement. Right now, to get this going, I don't think we need large-scale involvement. I think a few tenths of 1% of the population of a state can get this thing going because the time for this idea has finally arrived.
And
you
like
just
you said,
need to find the people that are going to sow the seeds.
Yeah, it's time to surf the wave.
That's right. It's here if we're willing to take advantage of it. I mean, Ron Paul, how long has Ron Paul been in the Congress of the United States?
Almost 20 years.
20 years, probably, at least. He was way back, I remember him, in the 1970s, early 1980s. A minority of one. Maybe two. There might have been Crane and some. There might have been one or two others in the House that would go along with him on his most controversial legislation, especially dealing with the banking system. All of a sudden, he has surged forward in the tremendous way we've seen, and it is not simply a manifestation of some manipulation of his campaign headquarters.
No, I think what it is it's a popular recognition by a younger generation who sees these excesses, and they face, literally, they face another great American depression.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking and they're going, no, we don't want this for ourselves. We don't want this for our children or our grandchildren. And
well,
they're jumping on it.
Do you agree, Edwin, that somebody should compiling a mailing list of all the Ron Paul followers so that in the event that he fails to achieve the office of president, we have an enormous mailing list of people of like-minded freedom thinking?
Well, I think that's being done, actually, Rick.
Okay.
I think that's being done. I think, you know, I'm hoping for the best. We need to plan for the worst, but hope for the best. And keep moving forward with Ron Paul's candidacy. We're going to be having a break coming up here pretty soon. Ladies and gentlemen, please call in. We are going to take questions this last half hour, this last segment. If you have a question, please call in at 800-313-9443. That's once again here, the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's our dime, 1-800-313-9443, and we'll take your calls on the air for Edwin Vieira. And as we start to move forward, I can tell you, Ed, that Rick and I have been talking about this, and we definitely are planning on putting together a local group, taking a look at this book, and saying, okay, what can we do? And we live in a very, you know, I call it a pernicious state. We live in the People's Republic of the state of Illinois,
mm-hmm.
or the state of Annoy, because we have just horrendous laws when it comes to carrying firearms in this state. And they've instituted this FOIA card, or is that right, Rick?
Firearms owner identification. Illinois is one of the great communist states in the United States.
Well, then it's fertile ground. Then it's fertile ground for what we're talking about. Because there must be a great number of people below the surface who are fed up with it, and they're waiting for someone, some prophet to appear, to show them how to get out.
All right.
I nominate Rick for that profit. Folks, we're going to be back in 3 minutes here on The American Awakening. Stick with us. We'll be back, and we'll take your calls. 313-9443, Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back
down. All right. Welcome back, America. Tim Wingate here, sitting in for Michael Herzog. And with my special guest, Dr. Edwin Vieira, talking about how to save this country by using constitutional principles. And we got, are you ready for some calls, Ed?
Sure.
Okay. Is this Pierre or Pierre from California?
Fishing Pierre. Hello?
Hello, we're here.
Yeah, this is Pierre, like a fishing pier.
Oh, like a fishing pier.
Yeah, and
okay.
I'm out to fish some people into a freedom message today.
Excellent.
Okay, here. First off, the struggle that everyone faces is really a language struggle. And primarily, Americans today have been taught a pidgin Latinate type of language. This is done by the campus Marxist, filters through public education, right down to kids, through television. So we're not really speaking English. And because of this, persons do not get their thoughts clear. And therefore, they can't figure out how the Constitution works. They can't figure out how their lives work. It starts with language. That's step one. Until you tackle that problem, you're going to find yourself climbing up a hill. And then secondly, persons need to understand the history of their own country and the Constitution itself. And you have to look at the pivotal year of 1913, which is the Quiet Revolution. It's the year in which the National Socialists actually overthrew the country. This is the year that they instituted popular election for the Senate, and that enabled them to stop bribing every state house in order to select senators, and they only had to choose only had to bribe 100 fellows in the Senate.
You so, Peter, do you have a question for Ed?
No, I don't really have a question.
Okay.
I'll ask him to comment on this notion of the Quiet Revolution. If you let me just finish the second part to it.
Sure, go ahead.
In 1913 is also the year that the United States Congress permanently froze the House count, the House membership count, to 435 members. And in doing so, they forever stopped the fundamental design of the Constitution as proposed by the founders, and that was to have popular representation for the people, and which they had up to that point in time kept the ratio of one rep per 30,000. So in doing so, they effectively created what I call the petite Senate, a second Senate. So in effect, every 2 years, we're electing a single body Senate where membership is roughly up for election about 80% of the total Congress. So this really comes down to the design of your government. And unless persons grasp their language first and then look at the history and how the actual Constitution has changed because the rules have changed, they'll never understand what governance is and what kind of a yoke they're under today. So, I'll take some commentary on that. Sure.
Ed, atwe ude uye ase ute is day.
I think Pierre has made some good points. And the last one I will comment on really looks to the question of federalism. You take the situation where you have 435 members of the House of Representatives, all right, it's really become an elitist body. And it does tend to cut out the ability of any one representative to represent adequately the huge number of people that may be in his or her district. How can we address that? Well, once again, we don't have control of Congress. We have to work from the bottom up. A revitalized militia structure is going to bring these kinds of issues onto the table. You're going to have a lot more discussed in those militia meetings than simply, the state of the levees around New Orleans. You're going to be discussing economic problems, political problems, and then that will translate into action not only strictly in the militia field, but in the political field as well. I certainly agree with him on the 17th Amendment. Federal Reserve System, we're seeing the consequences of that collapsing around our heads right now. I would make one comment. If you had a revitalized militia structure, one of the issues on the table would be the security of our monetary system, and as a homeland security matter, you would be pressing for all militia members to begin using sound constitutional money of gold and silver in their own transactions, business transactions. If that were done, you could create a parallel system of currency and work completely around the Federal Reserve System. I've drafted a number of different kinds of pieces of legislation. They've never gotten anywhere for precisely the reason that there aren't these grassroots organizations necessary to push them through.
Well, Ed, what if some modern president pulled a Roosevelt and outlawed the use of gold and silver, or at least gold?
Well, you're looking at one of these scenarios which I would take a certain amount of issue with. If you had the militia structure,
okay.
Number one, would you have a rogue president in office? Probably not.
Obviously not. No.
Number two, if you did, would the militia obey him? All right?
Yeah,
you have to start thinking about
it.
If you have a self-governmental institution which is conscious of its own power and legal authority, will it take unconstitutional orders?
Hey, I refuse to
accept that the people of this country, if they were self-aware of what their powers are and their rights are, that they would be taking orders from political parties, politicians, and special interest groups. they would, as Nancy Reagan used to tell us, just say no.
Yeah.
And if they
Rick,
were organized
were
properly, if they were organized properly, that no would be translated into the correct kind of action.
Yeah, I think if I understand from the book correctly, too, the if we were organized enough in these citizens associations slash militias, you do not need to pull out the gun to do anything. The threat is enough. Once the threat is in place, that the power, the numbers, the government won't want any part of standing toe-to-toe to us anymore. Right now, we're like a bunch of little puppies being beaten because we're totally disarmed, totally unregulated. If we were organized, then that would be enough of a threat that we wouldn't be pushed to these levels.
Well, that's the essence.
You got a good point there. Pierre, thanks for the call.
I just wanted to make one quick thing about monetary system.
Oh, boy.
Fine, jump in. No,
yeah,
we don't have any other callers.
Yeah, here's one of the issues. If you think in terms of there should be some alternative monetary system, you're falling into the same trap. When the founders designed the country, they designed it for interpersonal interaction. They didn't design systems. They didn't design a monetary system. They just declared what the weighting would be, the weight ratio.
Right.
There's no. If you continue to think in terms of systems, you're just as bad as they are. You're just falling into another trap.
Well, that
you've
got
to get to the language first, and you have to understand how the game was designed, how the Constitution itself was designed, in order to be able to talk about these subjects properly. You guys are way off base.
I think we're there. We're going to let him comment on it. Thanks, Pierre, for the call.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, Ed, go ahead. Jump in.
Well, I wrote a two-volume, 1,700-page book on the constitutional monetary system. Sorry he doesn't like the use of that word, but coming out of natural sciences, I guess it's natural to me to use it. And I would take a constitutional structure that requires the government to use silver as its unit and gold and silver as its only official money to be a system, a monetary system. Now, people can go out and use whatever they want in their private transactions as media of exchange, and that's another kind of system. We call it the free market system. But the free market system does depend upon some kind of governmental structure, if only to protect property and to enforce contracts.
I mean, we could use frozen chickens for crying out loud.
Yeah, you could. It wouldn't work very well.
No, it wouldn't. I mean, it'd be awful hard and cold to carry in your pants pocket. But
we could use monetized governmental debt, which is what we're using now, and that is proving not to work too well. Either.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we have Jeff from Chicago. Welcome, Jeff.
Hello, thank you. How are you today?
We're well.
Very well. I'm just listening in on the show. And
great.
I had read a bit about the good doctor's areas of studies in the Constitution and so forth, and the Federal Reserve System, and had a question as to more recently about the Federal Reserve System and the massive changes in terms of phasing it out that I've been hearing about. And I kind of wanted to know what his thoughts were on that.
Well, now, which massive changes might you be talking about?
Well, we've been hearing about the phasing out of the Federal Reserve System to some extent in terms of changes in regards to the monetary system, perhaps even the Federal Reserve form of legal tender.
Are you talking about the Amero?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Well, no, I see that as one of the outs that they are planning for themselves. They have an unstable system. It's probably going to go further and further in the direction of inflation, in the direction of really hyperinflation,
mm-hmm.
along the lines of the type of devolution that occurred in various South American countries, Argentina, Brazil, Uruguay, good examples. It's very difficult in the long run to maintain that kind of a system. They have this plan to set up the North American Union, and I think what they're looking towards is, again, one of these crises that they create, and then they hand us their solution, the crisis being the erosion at a rapid rate of the purchasing power of Federal Reserve notes, a hyperinflationary type event or near hyperinflationary type event. And then they'll present from out of nowhere, as it were, this new stable currency called the Amero. And in order for us to accept that, we will have to accept the North American Union along with it. So we'll get the worst of both worlds. But their hope will be that people will be concerned solely with very short-term economic stability, and therefore they'll accept the, essentially the destruction of their own country, the submersion of the identity of the United States into this North American entity, which, by the way, is not the end of the road. The North American entity is intended to be merged with a South American entity in a Western hemispheric block.
Right. A la the Trilateral Commission.
And then there will be some supranational or supra-block world governmental structure on top of that. I mean, I've seen a number of the sort of fold-out charts that show how this thing is going to evolve. And that's clearly the plan. And they're following the same plan that they followed in Europe. And, of course, one aspect of that was the removal of all of the national currencies and replacement with the supranational currency, the euro.
Right.
So they have a basic and pretty simple-minded game plan, and we're just seeing it working out in different geographical areas of the world. They have the key to it for them, though, is to get rid of this country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have to remember that. We are the stumbling block because we are so big, we are so powerful, and because of our tradition of individual freedom, which does not fit in with the way they want to run the world.
Yeah, it's a bit of a problem for them.
Yeah, they have to remove us. We are the stumbling block, and that gives us tremendous leverage because this is probably the first time in world history where there was a group of people that really said, yes, we can change world history. Right here and now, we can do that.
And it starts at the very fundamental principles as articulated in the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the major difference between this country and why it's so important we maintain our sovereignty and our existence is because we hold these truths to be self-evident.
That's exactly right. A lot of people stop at the Constitution and say, oh, the Constitution is the basis for all of the freedoms and prosperity we have. Wrong. The Declaration of Independence, the principles that are asserted there are the basis.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have a Constitution without the Declaration, and the Constitution is based on the Declaration's principles. It is, in fact, a mechanism for putting those principles into practical operation. So they tie together, and that's one of the reasons why they've got to create this North American Union. Right? They've got to destroy those basic principles as stated in the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The self-evident proposition that governments derive their just powers not from government, not from political parties, but from we, the people themselves, based upon what? The laws of nature and of nature's God, some principles that are higher, that are superior to governments, or for that matter, even peoples.
Which brings the point that, you know, these people running around thinking they're going to overthrow the government, or like militias running around, these private militias. And I'm thinking, well, even if you were to overthrow the United States government, what would you put in place? Perhaps a Declaration of Independence and a Constitution? Oh, what a surprise. We have that.
That's right.
The problem is not to overthrow anybody. The problem is we just need to follow it.
Great.
And the rest of this is that I had a conversation. By the way, thank you, Jeff, for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for answering the question.
Yeah. I had somebody mention to me that the reason they didn't want to support Ron Paul was because other than being against the war, he was against government, and we need to have government. And my response was, Ron Paul's not against government. The Constitution, well, forget the Constitution at the moment. The Declaration of Independence is not against government. It's how government is established, that it comes from the people who have unalienable rights granted to them by nature's God.
Right.
And that's where government comes from, not the other way around. And that's the big, big difference. And I pointed out, we're not against government. Human beings always institute some form of government. When they gather together, it's a sociological fact. You can't have a group of human beings that don't exist together without some form of government.
Well, you need government. Who's going to pave the roads, put up the street signs? Who's going to do all that? But the thing is, the government that governs least governs best.
And it also a very important point is, whose government is it? Is it a government of the people, self-governing themselves, or is it a government by elites controlling the people for the interests of the elites? And that was, again, one of the great insights of the Declaration of Independence. Government gains its just powers from where? The consent of the governed. Government isn't something that's here and we have to accept it. Government is our instrument. And if it's going to be our instrument, then we have to control it. And to control it, we have to participate in it. And that's not simply by elections every 2 years, 4 years, or 6 years.
Yeah.
That was the beauty of the militia concept that the Founding Fathers grasped, is that militia, constitutional militia, are institutions that are in existence with legal authority every day of the year.
Yeah,
they are not waiting.
That's where the concept of security comes from, because governments were instituted to secure those rights.
Exactly.
That the people held. All right, we're going to be back in 3 minutes for our last segment here with Dr. Edwin Vieira, my friend Rick from Chicago. This is Tim Wingate sitting in for Michael Herzog on Republic Broadcasting Network. Give us a call. We've just got time for one more caller, 1-800-313-9443.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
All right, America. We're back. Tim Wingate here sitting in for Michael Herzog and my special guest, Dr. Edwin Vieira, Jr., talking about constitutional homeland security. And once again, we would, oh, by the way, Ed, I'm getting a message that there is somebody who would like to talk to you after we're done with the program. So if you could hang on the line, our producer will get on with you after the after we go to the last break.
Or somebody wants a date with him?
What?
Somebody wants a date, Edwin?
No. Would like to talk with him, and so the producer will pass the info on to Ed.
Well, I hope it's President Bush, because he's the commander-in-chief of the militia, so I love to talk to him about this and see if we could turn it around.
I don't know. The last time he was in any form of a militia, I think he went AWOL, didn't he?
Oh, well.
That's what I'd like you to touch on, is why the National Guard is not the militia.
National Guard is not the militia for a number of reasons, the first of which is it dates from the so-called Dick Act, Representative Dick of 1903. And it was, in fact, created to be an adjunct of the Army because the Attorney General of the United States at the end of the 19th century had issued an opinion saying that the militia could not be required to go overseas to fight in any foreign military campaigns. So people who were thinking at that time of an imperialistic United States, Spanish-American War being the first episode of that, knew that they needed another source for a large reserve component for the Army, and the 1903 Act was the beginning of that. 1916, so-called National Defense Act, right in time for World War I, and we saw in World War I large contingents of the National Guard were, of course, sent to France in that particular campaign. Also, if you look at the constitutional principles of the militia, which are drawn out of the statutes that were passed by the colonies and then independent states prior to ratification of the Constitution, you find a number of those which don't have any connection with the National Guard. I mean, the first one is, in a constitutional militia, every able-bodied citizen performs some function. National Guard's a volunteer organization. National Guard is directly subject to the President of the United States, the militia of the several states who appoints the officers. It's the states themselves. They reserve that power. So we have a real federalist control. Down to the more practical level, in a constitutional militia, every member maintains his own firearms, ammunition, and necessary equipment in his own home, in his own possession at all times. That isn't, of course, the way the National Guard functions. We can run down a number of others. In fact, I'm working on that. The next book that's going to come out will detail a lot of this.
Well, that's
but
good,
there's the basis.
We're going to be running out of time here pretty quick.
Now, that's not to denigrate the National Guard in any way. National Guard has its functions to perform, but they are functions that are tied to the regular armed forces. They are not part of a constitutional militia.
Good. I'm glad you covered that, because that is an issue where the government on certain levels or courts misconstruing the law wants us to believe that falsehood.
Well, I think it's also one of those things you call an urban legend. You see a lot of the material that's put out by the Guard traces its history back to the colonial period, and of course that's simply not correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Ed, I want to really thank you so much for coming on with Rick and I today, last couple hours here, and really getting this out. And ladies and gentlemen, you need to get a hold of his book. Go to Amazon. Look for, you can either punch in Dr. Edwin Vieira Jr., or you can punch in Constitutional Homeland Security. Also, check out my blogspot, freedomshenanigans.blogspot.com. I'll have the F-scale type of questionnaire on there, see whether you're a freedom lover or a fascist. We'll be back at another time. I'll be on tomorrow on the Ed and Elaine Brown Show, sitting in, and you have a great, great afternoon. Thanks again to my guests and callers, and to Rick. Bye-bye. It's true.